Okay. We are in the Gospel of Matthew right now. And if you have your Bibles, you could turn there. If you have your sermon notes, you could look on them. We're in the Sermon of the Mount in the Gospel of Matthew, and so we're actually going to be finishing the Beatitudes today, right? And we're going to hit the eighth Beatitude, and there are eight of blessed bees, and this is the eighth one. But I want to kind of read through these first ones and kind of get it in context of how these Beatitudes went, they go. And so the first one starts out and it says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." Now, these first seven Beatitudes really have to do with our response as far as just believers and walking with Jesus, all right? They really declare what Christians are supposed to be like, how we're supposed to be as far as just walking in God's grace, trusting in Him, realizing that when He's the one that saved us, He's the one that rescued us. And now these are type of attitudes. You know, that's what I usually had is our Beatitude, something that's supposed to be going on inside of us. You know, that one, that's how I should be responding, because one, I realize, man, it's all about God. It's not about me. He's the one that did this. And He's the one that rescued me. And so I'm very excited. I want to be like Him. I want to be like Him. So I focus on Him. But this last Beatitude is more of what the world, how the world responds to people who try to be like Jesus. That's the last Beatitude. And so it says, "But blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So now he goes from what's going on inside of me to really how people are going to respond to you. And because he wants to really clarify this in a real strong way, he kind of does this addendum to make it a little bit bigger. He says, "Blessed are you when they revile you and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Blessed are you when you're persecuted. I was thinking about this week, all right? I was thinking about this and I was thinking, okay, Lord, how have I been persecuted for being a Christian? Well, I remember when my type of persecution has been very weak, all right, as far as persecution for me. When I became a Christian, right, I mean, I left my life of doing drugs and womanizing and being all about me, and I left that, and my persecution was that my friends made fun of me, all right? They said, "Oh, you're some type of Jesus freak. Oh, come on. You'll be back with us in a little while," or they wouldn't even want to come out and hang out with me anymore at all, because I just want to talk about the wonderful things God had done in my life. They don't hear it. That, to me, was my persecution, because I think, okay, how much persecution do we face here in America? Are American Christians persecuted? Well, no and yes. No and yes. In comparison to all of the saints that have gone before us, no. Heck no. Every one of the apostles died a martyr's death except for John. And he was boiled in oil, then sent to an island to basically that. Then he was brought in and died in prison. All right. All the other ones were either crucified, upside down, sideways, filleted, heads chopped off, stoned. That's all the other apostles, all right? They were persecuted. All right? But am I persecuted? I mean, do American Christians really, I mean, do we face that type of persecution? No, we don't face that type of persecution. And I was trying to think, okay, Lord, why don't we don't face that? I'm glad, all right? I'm glad that people that I know are not flayed and stoned and beheaded. But is that going on in other parts of the world?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, it is. Horribly. You know, and I've been to enough places in the world to see that, yes, there's horrible persecution in other places. You go to places like in Egypt, the Coptic Christians, where their churches are being burned down. In India, where their churches are being burned, the people are there being stoned. In Sudan, where Christians are being raped and murdered, children taken from them, churches being burned, pastors being killed. Oh yeah, there are lots and lots of places. In Saudi Arabia, if you share your faith with somebody, it's a capital offense. You can be killed. Yeah. That's why I remember one pastor always told me, he says, if ever you decide to evangelize in the world, make Saudi Arabia the last place you go. But because those people there, they are persecuted for sharing their faith. Even Israel. Even Israel, it's against the law to proselytize. Unless you're Jewish. And you're proselytizing somebody to become a Jew. Then it's not illegal. But if you're trying to share with a Jew your faith and they become a Christian, they're excluded from family functions. Sometimes they're beaten. Sometimes they're let go of in their jobs. There is persecution all over the place, and we do not face that because all those other nations, this is what I was thinking. I said, you know what? All the other nations, most of the other nations of the world were not founded on Christian principles where the U.S. was. The U.S. was, it was founded on Judeo-Christian beliefs, and to where in the United States, we do not face that type of persecution. Yet. But are we persecuted? Well, yes, in a way to where we're persecuted in our government, where all of a sudden our faith is made fun of, our belief systems are downplayed, they're at times they're even taken away. You know, I think of the ways that in building projects, churches are really put down low because they don't. At times, it seems like the cities or the government system are against what we believe in, and so they don't want to have us expand. You know, we're persecuted in politics. Outreaches, you know, where we think we should just be able to go out and do an outreach in a public park and just share the gospel, and they say, well, if you have a gathering of more than 25 people, you may have to make sure you have a permit. And then we have to know what you're going to do with that permit. You know, and so there are ways that, yes, we can say, yeah, we're persecuted. Little bits. You know, the world has no problem accepting and following leaders who permit them to stay in their sins, but they will crucify anybody who dares to point them to a narrow gate and a narrow way. You know, and I keep thinking, okay, persecution. Are we persecuted? Well, in 1962, the Supreme Court declared that prayer in school was unconstitutional. Right? They used to do that. I remember doing that in school. I remember doing that in grammar school. In 1963, the Warren Court stopped schools from allowing Bible reading in public schools. They used to read the Bible in public schools. All right? That was a normal thing up until 1963. In 1980, the Supreme Court declared that posting the Ten Commandments in school classrooms violated the Constitution of the United States. Now, that's pseudo-persecution. It is persecution because all of a sudden, I mean, what it's doing, it's taking away those things that stood before people as stark contrast to how they wanted to live, how they chose to live. You know? And I think, okay, yeah, there is definitely a persecution going on here, because people who choose to follow Jesus, we are diametrically opposed to the ways this world lives. And if we choose to live that way for Christ, all right, there is going to be a battle that's going to end up being, because there's going to be a head where all of a sudden when people are standing up and saying, no, it's just not right. No, I choose not to live that way. I choose not to follow that path. When that happens, all right, you're on a collision course to the world system and the world's values. And that's what Jesus is talking a lot about here. And I think, you know, how often do we do that? And I read this a few years back. A Kansas state legislature invited a pastor, Joe Wright, of Wichita Central Christian Church, to deliver an invocation for the Kansas state legislature as they would open up. And when he prayed, in the words of Paul Harvey, it's like he told God on the Kansas state legislature. All right? At the conclusion of his prayer, three Democrats stood up and said, he can't talk to us like that. He can't say that about us. How dare he? And they got up on the microphone. And you're thinking, what the heck did he say that would kind of rile up such a hornet's nest of people, of these people just vehemently just so upset? I want to read you his prayer, all right? Just read you his prayer. This is what he prayed. He was standing before the legislature. And you guys judge, kind of, would this kind of evoke that type of response? This is what he prayed. He said, Heavenly Father, we come to you today to ask your forgiveness and to seek your direction and guidance. We know your word says, woe to those who call evil good, but that's exactly what we've done. We've lost our spiritual equilibrium and inverted our values. We confess that we have ridiculed the absolute truth of your word in the name of moral pluralism. We have worshipped other gods and called it multiculturalism. We have endorsed perversion and called it an alternate lifestyle. We have exploited the poor and called it a lottery. We have neglected the needy and called it self-preservation. We have rewarded laziness and called it welfare. In the name of choice, we have killed our unborn. In the name of right to life, we have killed the abortionists. We have neglected to discipline our children and called it building esteem. We have abused power and called it political savvy. We have coveted our neighbor's possessions and called it taxes. We have polluted the air with profanity and pornography and called it freedom of expression. We have ridiculed the time-honored values of our forefathers and called it enlightenment. Search us, O God, and know our hearts today. Try us and know any wickedness in us. Cleanse us from every sin and set us free. Guide and bless these men and women who have been sent here by the people of Kansas and have been ordained by you to govern this great state. Grant them your wisdom to rule and may their decision direct us to the center of your will. I ask this in the name of your Son, the living Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. I think, oh Lord, read that at every state legislature, you know, until they finally get it. You know, but that's exactly where we live. We live in a world that, and what happens with us as Christians is we live in a place where, this is me. Now I'm going to talk about me, where I believe that one, I'm not persecuted because I look too much like the world. Because I look so much like the world that I'm not standing up for so many of those things. I don't like conflict. I don't like the struggle. But you know what? I realize that, Lord, is it because I'm not persecuted? Because I look too much like it? God bless Pastor Joe Wright. God bless him, and may the Lord just increase everything that he does. And I pray that God, you'd do that in our lives, to where all of a sudden we'd stand up for what righteousness is. Jesus said that there's three different forms. I mean, he showed kind of three different forms of persecution. And the word persecute really comes from the word to pursue or to run after. You know, when somebody's persecuted, and I think of the saints that have gone before us, I think of William Tyndale. You know who William Tyndale was? William Tyndale is a guy who translated the scriptures from Latin to English so the common man could read it. Well, the Roman church didn't want that. Go figure. King Henry VIII didn't want that, and so what they did, they actually pursued him. He went into hiding while he was translating the scriptures. For 12 years, they searched for him and looked for him all over the place while he was translating. And he'd have to move from place to place because they were getting too close. And finally, he was betrayed by somebody who he thought it was his friend. They caught him, put him in prison. 6 weeks later, they chopped his head off. But not before he had actually translated scriptures into English. But he was murdered. He was chased. He was pursued. He was persecuted. John Bunyan, who was a tinker and a Baptist preacher in Bedford, England, he was imprisoned by the magistrates for just sharing, preaching the gospel, because he preached against the things that the magistrates and the people were doing. He just thought they were wrong, wrong, wrong. And he kept on preaching, and they said, if you quit preaching, we'll let you out of prison. He says, may moss grow on my eyelids before I quit preaching. And he was in prison for 12 years, realizing that while he was in there, his blind daughter was not being cared for. But he chose to do that, and still some of the greatest writings that John Bunyan wrote. He wrote like Pilgrim's Progress, you know, and different writings were all said just truths about just Christianity. People like that have been persecuted. You know, and we often think that persecution involves physical violence, and it does. Like I say, many, many, many of our brothers and sisters around the world right now are suffering horrible, horrible persecution. Horrible persecution that we never hear about, or we might not know about. But there's at least three forms. And the first one that I see here in Scripture, we might call verbal persecution. Verbal persecution. Jesus says that we're blessed when we're reviled for his name's sake. And that's to be basically called a Christian. In the early days, when people are called a Christian, it was like being called, you idiot, you stupid, you jerk. What's wrong with you? You a Christian? It was like a bad thing. You know? Because they were almost like a cult, like something that was not part of normal society. And so they were verbally abused just as being Christians. Because what being called a Christian, it was an insult, and what it meant to be called like a little Christ. Just a little Christ. You know, and the thing is, if I'm called a jerk or an idiot or just some other type of word, all right? And if it's true, I need to repent. Right? Oftentimes it is, all right? So when it's true, I need to say, you're right. Yep, that's me. I need to repent. But if all of a sudden somebody says, what are you, some type of religious fanatic? Some type of Jesus freak? Or what's the popular one? You're a fundamentalist extremist. Whoa, that's a big word, you know? Because all of a sudden I believe and I adhere to the truths of Scripture. Really? That's a type of persecution. That is a type of persecution. That's verbal persecution. And Jesus said, don't be ashamed of that. Don't let it bother you. They're identifying you with me. Should be a great honor. The second type of word Jesus uses to persecute, it means to pursue somebody. To persecute means a pursuer, to go after. It's more of an active. It's an active, what we would call an active persecution. You know, it's a physical form of attack. Active type of persecution where somebody actually reaches out and slugs you because you say you're a Christian. I don't know if that's happened to any of us in here. I would dare say probably not. You know? Peter and John, when they were preaching the gospel, I remember the time where they were in the temple preaching and they were brought before the leaders and they said, don't do that anymore. Quit preaching. You're making the people mad at us. You know? They weren't so much upset that they were preaching, it's just that they were turning the people against them. They said, so quit it. Quit. You know, you're great. All these people are getting mad at us because they think we killed Jesus. The Romans did it. I'm sure they did. You know? And so quit preaching about him. Say, hey, we just got to do what God says. And so it says they put him in prison. And God said, sent an angel, let him out. They kept on preaching. Then they were brought before him again. It says they beat them. And then they sent them away. And it says they went away rejoicing. That they'd been counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. I read so many stories this week of different martyrs and stuff that I just read and I just feel so ashamed. People who went to their death basically kissing either the stake that they were going to be burnt at, realizing that I'm going to go to heaven. This is my passage. This is the way I'm going to go. All those saints before us who have died before us, who have just gone so excitedly to the Colosseum or to just their deaths, rejoicing because they knew, I'm going to see Jesus soon. That's active type of persecution. Active type of attack. Like I say, there are still people all over the world that are experiencing that type of persecution. Then there's a third one. Jesus mentioned, he says, when they say all kinds of evil against you, falsely, for his name's sake. I believe we can kind of talk and say this is kind of a social persecution where people, they kind of gather, rally around just groups of people that kind of all of a sudden were shunned or were not allowed to be a part or they pass us over because of our belief system. And some Christians have actually experienced that because they choose not to be deceptive in business. They choose not to step on somebody else. They choose to walk righteously. They choose to not work on Sabbath. They choose to honor God in the way that their convictions hold them to. All right? And they say, well, you know, you're obviously not that good. So they make fun of them. They pass them over. And that's type of a social persecution. You know, that all of a sudden we're misrepresented or misquoted because of our belief system. Because we choose to tithe. We choose to just be upset about the sin of the world. Jesus said, that's persecution that we do face. He says, now there are reasons why people go through this type of persecution. And there's a difference between persecution and punishment. You guys know that? Okay. We're punished by good men for doing evil. We are punished by good men for doing evil. We're persecuted by bad men for doing good. We're punished by good men for doing evil. When you goof up, all right, if I drive 70 miles on the freeway, 7 miles an hour on the freeway, and a cop pulls me over, and he says, I'm writing you a ticket. Oh, but I have a Bible right here. You're persecuting me because I'm a Christian. I know you are, you know? No. I'm getting in trouble for something stupid that I did. All right? Because I did not follow God. All right? Now, I'm out sharing my faith in a public area, and they come and they say, "You can't do that," you know. Well, I need to share my faith. Or I remember during the late 80s, early 90s, where we were standing in front of abortion clinics, you know, and just standing there, just praying and singing. And they would grab people, take us off to jail. You know, that's being persecuted for righteousness' sake, I believe. Right? Standing up for something that's right. Standing up for something that's right. But there's reasons for persecution, and here's the two reasons. The first one is for righteousness' sake. We are persecuted for righteousness' sake. For a believer daring to live out the Beatitudes. For me, recognizing I'm bankrupt. I mourn over sin. I'm yielded to God. I'm hungry for Jesus. I want to show mercy to other people. I want to be open and honest and not deceptive about my life. Right? I want to be a peacemaker. All right, these are opposite values than the world has. And so when I choose to live those type of attitudes in my life, when I choose to do that, I don't always do that, right? Because I'm selfish, I don't like conflict, all right? I realize that as much as I don't want to think I'm self-centered, I am, right? I have a great self-preservation that's inside of this thing right here. I don't want to be persecuted. So I run away from conflict. I think, Lord. So in doing that, what happens? Sometimes I compromise what I in my head I think, no, I believe these things. And I know this week I was with a friend and I was saying, just pray for me. Pray that one, as much as I want to say I'm just a follower of Jesus, and I want that, I say, my life choices might not declare that same fact because of how I live. I said, just pray for me this week that one, my life choices would more reflect that one, yes, I am a Jesus follower and not a follower of this world. But it says that those who choose to live for righteousness' sake, you're going to be persecuted. Now, the root of righteousness, that root word there means to divide, to be different, to divide, to be different. And I'm afraid oftentimes with my life, I look the same. Jesus said, you know, I didn't come to, some people think I came to bring peace on the earth. He said, I didn't come to bring peace. What did he say? I came to bring a sword. Really? Whoa, what's that with that? Because he came to change our worlds upside down and turn us upside down and show us what you think is right ain't so right. The way you think you're supposed to live life, yeah, might not be so. You know, and that's why the Pharisees just kept on shaking their heads. The scribes shook their heads. The regular people shook their heads. Even his disciples were going, what are you doing to us? Turn your world upside down. Because my kingdom's not here. Following me is not following this world, following the ways of this world. Different way. It's a narrow way. It's different from what this world believes. Jesus said in John 15, he says, if you belong to the world would love you as its own. If you went its way, hey, it would like you. But as it is, you don't belong to the world. But I've chosen you out of the world. I've chosen you out. That's why the world hates you. If Jesus caused division while he was on the earth and we seek to be like him, what should our lives be like? Like his. Like his. Let's go, whew. I need prayer. Big time. Hey, how you guys doing? Okay, so he says, if they persecuted me, they will persecute you also. And his disciples walked through it. And like I say, many of our brothers and sisters in other parts of the world, they're walking through it now. They're walking through it. So that's one. For righteousness' sake is why we will be persecuted. If we choose to live according to those Beatitudes, we will be persecuted. Because you'll be doing opposite of what this world's values teach. The other reason it says, for His sake. For His sake. We're also persecuted for His name's sake. Jesus said in John 15, 21, He says, if they treat you this way because of my name, they do it because they don't know the one who sent me. We're persecuted, when we're persecuted, and the Christians who are persecuted, even in other countries right now, they're persecuted because they're believers in Jesus, and it's because people don't know Jesus. And when you don't know about something, you know, there's a saying that ignorance breeds suspicion. Right? The more ignorant I am about a certain subject, it breeds suspicion about that, because I don't know about it. So I get all kinds of ideas about what that might mean. And that's what happens with Christians in other parts of the world. Ignorance breeds suspicion, and suspicion breeds fear. Because all of a sudden I let my mind go, and you know where my mind goes. It goes, worst case scenario probably, I wonder what this could mean. I wonder what they're going to do. You know? And you attack what you're afraid of. So people around the world, Christians around the world, are getting attacked. It says in Philippians 1:29, it says, for it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him, but also to suffer for Him. See, persecution is when you're seeking to do His will and honor His name. And as a result, you're going to suffer. Persecution is when you're seeking to do His will and honor His name. And as a result, you do that, you're going to suffer. Now, because of that, because there is persecution out there, how does Jesus say we're supposed to respond? How does Jesus say we're supposed to respond? Well, He says we're supposed to respond like this. We're supposed to, one, realize. We're supposed to realize something. We're supposed to realize this is not our home. Persecution comes to Christians because this world is not our home. All right? When persecution comes to believers in other parts of the world, they realize, man, this ain't home. I'm going somewhere else where this is not going to be going on. Where all of a sudden there's going to be great freedom, great love, great joy, just being in God's presence. When persecution doesn't come, we get very comfortable where we're at. And all of a sudden, in our lifestyle, in the way we do life, in what we do, this becomes our home, and we become very comfortable here. Any of you guys relate with that? We get very, very comfortable because we're not being persecuted. Because all of a sudden, yeah, this is good. I'm okay. I'm doing all right. All of a sudden, life's kind of moving along, right? My bills are being paid. Money's starting to come in. Hey, it's a point of life, you know? And all of a sudden, I forget this is not my home. But when persecution happens, all of a sudden, I'm looking for someplace else to go. Because I want out of here. Because this is not our home. This is not what we're destined for. This world. And when I'm persecuted, I want to bring as many people as I can out of here, because when God has put a love for me in me for people that don't know Him, and so I want to grab them out of here and take them to someplace else, because where I want to go, where I'm going. But if I'm not persecuted, man, I'm good. I'm not that concerned about my neighbors who are going to hell, because they're good right now. That's the deception that goes on inside of me. I don't know about you. You guys are way different than me. I know you guys are doing so much better at this than I am. So I appreciate that. I really do. Okay, but that's what happens with persecution. Persecution is supposed to move us to think about, whoa, this is not home. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to heaven. I can't wait to get out of here. Second, we're supposed to rejoice, right? In fact, he says, man, when people revile you, say all kinds of manner of evil against you, it says you're supposed to rejoice and be exceedingly glad. Right. Right? How's that working for you? You know, like I said, you know, when the disciples, when they left after being beaten, where they left the presence of the religious leaders in Jerusalem, and they rejoiced because they had been counted worthy to suffer for the name of Jesus. And I just go, I'm a sissy. Yep, that's where I'm at. I just go, oh God. I think about Paul and Silas, beaten, put in stocks. You know, Acts chapter 16 in Philippi, because they had been preaching the gospel, and they're down there. I don't know if Silas was preaching. I know Paul was. Silas just was there, and Paul goes, Silas, let's start singing. Shut up. I don't know what to say. You know, I mean, that's what I would have been. You know, and all of a sudden they start saying God does a miracle, you know, inside the prison. You know, but I just think, really? My back hurts. You know, I'm in here like this. Do what? What's wrong with you? You know, but they rejoiced. People who have rejoiced because of persecution. You know the story of the saints that have gone to the Colosseum before they were going to get eaten by wild animals, singing, rejoicing, worshiping. He says, rejoice. Rejoice. That's part of rejoice, because when we realize, man, we're part of this, of what God's heart, you know, that when we're living like He did, the world hates Him. The world hates Him. It's supposed to hate us. You know, that one, as we're being persecuted, we're actually drawing closer to Him because I'm wanting more and more. I just want to get out of here. I want to be with Him. You know, unless He leaves me here for a while, then I can share with more people. And it's not a type of joy that's worked up. It's the Holy Spirit's doing this thing inside of me that all of a sudden I realize, yeah, that's how they treated Jesus. Yeah, that's how they treated the disciples. Yeah, that's how they treat other Christians in other places. Peter says, if you're insulted because of the name of Christ, you're blessed. For the Spirit of glory rests upon you. So we're supposed to, one, realize that, one, this ain't our home. Two, rejoice. And three, remember. Remember, we're supposed to remember. Remember all the people that have gone before us, all those saints that have gone before us, and now we're part of their group. All right? This incredible cloud of witnesses, the Bible says, of whom the world was not even worthy of. And as I look at those people, I just go, you're right, God. This world was not worthy of just their sacrifice, their love. The way that they served other people, just wanting them just to know you, or just to show your heart to people. Be it the Mother Teresa's of this world, or those martyrs and saints who have gone before us, who have tried to open the gospel in so many other areas of this world. So as Scripture says, remember those who are in prison right now. Remember those people who are in prison right now. You know, the rewards of our persecution, it says that the kingdom of heaven is theirs. The kingdom of heaven is theirs. Paul said, you know what, I consider that our present sufferings are not worthy to be compared to all the glory that will be revealed in us. And he says in 2 Corinthians 4:17, it says, for our light and momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. If Paul could call the suffering and the stuff that he went through as light and momentary persecution, really? I have just two things that I want to kind of leave you with today. I'd ask you just to think about just what it means to be persecuted to follow Jesus and just to really walk in this righteousness. And to say, okay, Lord, when things do happen, am I living for Jesus in a way where my life is living not the way this world is? To where all of a sudden people are rejecting me because of Jesus. Because I'm living a life that is honoring Him. And that's different from this world. And the second thing I would ask as believers is that one, we wouldn't forget those who are suffering right now around the world. Those people who are laying down their lives in places that are against Christianity. Totally against it. People who are living that way. Let's not forget them. Let's pray for them. Ask God to work in their lives. All right? Continue to remember those in prison as if you were together with them in prison. And those who are mistreated as if you yourselves were suffering. Hebrews 13, 2 and 4. Let's pray. Father, Lord, your word just speaks for itself, and yet in so many ways we realize our shortcoming in every area. God, I would ask in my life that you would search my heart, see the wicked things inside of me, God, and lead me in a way that's right. Lead me in the everlasting path. Help me to walk in that straight and narrow way, God, and not in the wide, broad way that leads to destruction. But Father, even a way at times that leads to persecution, because I want to honor you. For all of us, God. We ask you to do it in our lives and for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.